Some of you know the topic we're going to talk about today, and I want you to hold on to that for a minute. Don't say anything. All honesty, you got to search your hearts a little bit. What's the most difficult aspect of your Christian walk? So in other words, where do you find it the hardest to obey? And now I know this is one of the questions that no one wants to answer. Is anyone feeling vulnerable enough dealing with the one closest to you, with your mom? Okay. Yeah. So dealing with a relative, so you're saying your mom, but being the worst version of yourself in those situations. Because it's easy when we're close to the people because they have to love us. Right? Anyone else? Being a living sacrifice continuously. Okay. You guys are going really deep. I was thinking like prayer. reading my Bible. There's times I'm really good at it, and there's times that gets pushed to the side. The one that I would say no one answered, it's what we're going to talk about today, and this is not the reason Arden chose to leave. We're talking about tithing. And just to get it right off, a lot of people have the aspect, I've heard it because I was a pastor for so long, the church just wants our money, and they want to count how many butts are in the seats. Right? It's all about numbers and numbers. And so I just want you to know we want you here, not because you feel obligated, but because you want to come. And we want you to give, not because the church is going to go broke if you don't, although it could happen. But we want you to give because it's an act of obedience, not because we need more money so we can pay people more or we can do more. So it's a heavy topic. I'm going to try to keep it light. I'm looking up here because in the last church I pastored, there was a screen there and behind me, so I could always see what's going on. And Matt's head isn't quite big enough to get that screen on it. So I just sort of have a few fun cartoons. $1 looks like it's time for the sermon on tithing again. All tithers stand so I can pray God's blessings on your finances. Now all non-tithers stand so I can lead you in a prayer of repentance. I'd really like to join the church, Pastor, but that tithe thingy is a little steep. Do you have a junior membership program? I just have a couple more. The Stewardship Committee's latest budget-raising idea, 4-channel headsets, 1 for sermon, 2 for hymns, 3 for football, 4 for NASCAR. In the South, number 4 would be picked a lot. And then finally, I'm afraid no one will ever find us. Don't worry, I give $100,000 yearly to my church. My pastor will find us. And so I grew up, a little bit about me, I grew up with a mom that every Sunday we went to church, she wrote a $20 check. I don't know what percentage of her income that was. But every Sunday, I knew that's the day you give $20. I think to this day, it's still a $20 check. And so I grew up with the mindset of that's what you do when you go to church. You bring 20 bucks, you listen to the message, you sing the worship songs, and you go home feeling good because you did what you were supposed to do. And so I don't know if any of you have odd traditions when it comes to tithing, like maybe you were raised in a way and that affected how you do things. And this was my slide for traditions. Just because you've always done it that way doesn't mean it's not incredibly stupid. You can actually buy that poster. But so where do you imagine when you give to Cherry Grove, when we tithe, where does that money go? Have you thought much about that? Like, I'm not going to go into percentages. I figured them out and I was disturbed. But if you give to Cherry Grove, do you know where the money goes? If you just want to. And then now the treasurer's like, yeah, I know where it goes. We sat here in a business meeting a couple months back, and we talked about budget, and we talked about how at that time it was the discussion about giving Arden or giving our staff a raise. And I believe the raise that we wanted to give them really was going to equal, it wasn't that much, it was $1,000, wasn't it? Or it was like 1%, which did not equate to very much. And we talked about how our giving is low. In fact, if you look in your bulletins, I believe, I should have read this first. It tells you like year-to-date behind. I'm just going to give you a clue. That's to the end of the month, if I'm not mistaken. So that's what we gave each week, or we're year-to-date giving sort of things. And we talked about in that business meeting how giving is down. And we go through these cycles. Sometimes giving's up, sometimes giving's down. Every church I've been in has had these discussions. What do we do to have the finances we need to do the things we need? And so, you know, a lot of the mindset growing up in a church and being a part of a church was that as the church needs our money so they can pay our pastors more and that we can do more. I would really say, I wish I'd asked Arden this question. I bet Arden would turn down a raise if he knew the money in that raise would fund something that needed funding. I'm pretty certain he would say yes to that. A small percentage of what we give, unfortunately, goes actually out to ministries outside of the pastoral ministry. Like Arden does, so our pastors do so much, from counseling to, he came up and helped me pour concrete. That's not in his job description, but in a sense it was, because he was going to make sure he was there for whatever I needed. You can't put a dollar value on these things. And so we pay our leadership and we pay our pastors and our secretary to do the things that, quite honestly, there's no one volunteering to do them. And so we do that to help them out. Also, our finances go to our different committees or teams. I want to share a little bit what that does. The elders, for example, when we tithe, we free up the elders to do things that we honestly can't do without them at times. Spiritual care and oversight to our church family. I'm just going to hit some highlights. If I miss something you think is really important, jump in. Provide resources to the youth group, which helps with Samuel School, helps with George Fox and Barclay College students. Host training for church leaders. The worship service, child care, special services like Christmas and Easter. Then we have things like the mother-daughter tea, which is coming up, Bible study resources, women's retreat, which is coming up, from decorations to our fellowship things to weddings and celebration of life services to our pastoral support, pastoral conference, training, and resources. So these are things that the elders do, and part of the way they're able to do that is with the funds that we enable them to use. The stewards, I don't think there's anyone that ever thought, man, I can't wait to be a steward and work with the budget. Stewards, our Northwest Yearly Meeting Great Commission, they contribute to that. Capital improvements, keeping the building going. Maintenance, repairs, supplies, kitchen supplies, garbage service, utilities, our alarm, because we live in a world where people break in and steal things. Insurance. Office supplies, I might have said, the salaries for the pastor and secretary, their personal or medical and things like that, taxes, and of course, there's always things that I don't know, the miscellaneous. Christian Ed does curriculum. Christian Ed pays for the equipment and supplies for the kids. They take care of the library, vacation Bible school, youth camp. Scholarships, just general expenses that they deal with, background checks, and training, and graduation Sunday, which will be coming up. If you were in men's group, you can't answer this question. Do you have any idea what percentage of our budget goes to Christian Ed? Who wants to take a guess? Treasurer, don't guess. Okay, you're low. You're high. 1.5% of our budget goes to Christian Ed. 1.5% of our budget goes to outreach. That saddens me. I don't want you to think that when you give, like if you were giving to a regular charity and you found out only 3% went to going out ministry, you wouldn't give. Honestly, I wouldn't. But we do that in church. Like I said, there's so many things that we can't put a dollar amount on. And so these numbers are, like, they're on paper, that's what it looks like. In reality, there's a little bit more there because of what our pastors do, what volunteers do. There's things we can do because we have a building. There's things we can do because we have a staff that loves us and things like that. So the numbers are a little skewed. That's why I didn't want to go into them too much. Outreach, Northwest Yearly Meeting, Board of Missions, CHAD, which I forgot what that means. Hope and Destiny, which is in Malawi, and that's the ministry that we help support there with Samuel and Anna. Then we have General Use, which is Community Needs, Options 360, the Pregnancy Resource Center, Lewis River Mobile Food Bank. There's the Coat Closet, the Sock Drive, Plastic Grocery Bags, helping local church members with mission trips. There's the Seas Chocolate and Lollipops for the Wood family in Panama. And then local Clark County ministries and charities and the things like we'd heard about with the WHO that we could volunteer in and help out. Then, we have the rest stop for our policemen and firefighters and things like first responders. That's the right words. We have Trillium, which when I heard Trillium, I thought, what is that? We have an autistic man that comes in and does recycling and helps out once a week. There's the Coat Closet. There's AA groups. There's four different AA groups that meet here. And there's the NA group. And those do contribute a little bit. Like they give a little bit of a stipend to help with utilities. It's probably not enough to actually cover it, but it helps. So there is that as well. So that's sort of what the ministries are and what happens when we give and where the money goes. But when you think of a tithe, that's a word that no one likes to hear, the tithe. So if you want to read this with me, this is with Abram, and it says, "And he blessed Abram, saying, 'Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and praise be to God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand.' Then Abram gave him a tenth of everything." This is one of the first accounts of a tithe. If we keep going in Genesis, we get to Jacob. So this would be Abraham's grandson. And if you want to again read with me, "Jacob made a vow saying, 'If God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth." Again, tithe, Old Testament, and the tenth. Moses, in part of the Mosaic Law, in Leviticus, says, "A tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. Whoever would redeem any of their tithe must add a fifth of the value to it. Every tithe of the herd and flock, every tenth animal that passes under the shepherd's rod will be holy to the Lord." So these are some of the Old Testament references of what a tithe is. It's the mandate of giving. I want you to just think about that. I brought this up to other people, and they said, well, what does it say in the New Testament? We're going to get there. We're going to get there. Jesus tells us he came and fulfilled the law. He didn't abolish it. And so does the tithe, I just want to maybe an opinion. Raise your hand if you think the tithe, the 10% applies today. Plus, okay, we might get there. And the New Testament goes into what is often referred to as joyful giving or cheerful giving, depending on the translation. And so 2 Corinthians, if you want to read with me, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Last Sunday, we came to church, and so if you don't know, I've been unemployed for about 5 months now. Before this time, I'd never been unemployed for more than 2 weeks. And so last Sunday, the Skinners shared about jobs, and I was very encouraged for them, and I was very discouraged for me. Don't feel bad. Don't feel bad. It was a growing moment. And so, like, we left after church, and Kim's like, what's wrong? And I was like, I don't want to talk about it. I'm being selfish, and I needed to be happy and praising with you, but I was feeling a little self-pity going on, and so I thought, you know, I've been applying, I've been doing the things, I've been waiting for people to call back because they said they would and never did, and we could do a whole message of integrity based off these 5 months of my experience. And I had 2 Saturdays ago, I went to a job fair at what was once called Freightliner and is now Western Star. And as I went there, Kim and I were talking like, I don't know that I want to get a job here. They were saying it's going to start out at $15 an hour, which was great. But when you have to drive from Woodland to Swan Island and back, plus Oregon taxes, I thought, is $15 an hour really worth it? And so we were talking it out with our family, saying, I don't know what to do if they do. And I was pretty sure I was going to get a call that they would offer me a job. And they said, they would, again, integrity, after my job fair with them, they said, we'll call you next week. And they didn't. And so that was before this last weekend. And I'm going, even the job I was pretty certain I was definitely going to get, they're not calling back. And so on Tuesday, I got this call that they said we want you to come in for your physical. And I basically said, for what? And she said, did you not get the job offer in your email? And I said, no. She said, well, we want to bring you in and we're going to pay you at the top salary, so at $26 an hour. And I thought, that's worth the drive. And so... So I do have a job now. I don't know when I start, but that's a praise for me. Thank you. It's not a job I'm sure I want, but it's a job. And it's going to cover things that we've needed help with. So it's a huge blessing. I'm saying all this because for the last 5 months, it'd be really easy. It'd have been really easy not to tithe. It had been really easy to say, we're on one salary and it's not meeting all of our needs. We're going to hold on to that tithe and take care of things. Instead, we kept tithing, and which was an act of faith. But I kept thinking, God, where's the blessing? I know, I was bad. I was thinking, but I'm just going to be honest. I'm thinking, God, where's the blessing? The reason I asked that question was because of not, okay, we'll skip that, was because of this. I, the Lord, do not change. So you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. So I was holding on to this Malachi scripture, thinking, if you give faithfully, if you give joyfully and cheerfully, it'll be okay. And I wasn't feeling that it was okay. I was feeling a little discouraged and frustrated. And now, honestly, I truly believe this is God's timing. Because I was able to get a lot of things done at home that I wouldn't have gotten done had I had a job. Kim was very good about coming home and telling me that she wasn't frustrated with me. I was. She was, you know, really good about building me up and encouraging me. And I'm thinking, again, because I was raised in the home that you should be providing for your family. And I was thinking, I'm not. I'm building them a home, but I'm not providing. And so it was really easy for me to get discouraged. But again, it was sort of self-pity and not trusting that God would take care of it. And he is. And I'm thankful for that. There's a story of, we're going to get out early today. There's a story of a man that made an agreement with God. He was unemployed, and he said, if you help me find a job, I promise I will give a tenth of everything that I earn. And so he did get a job, and he gave a tenth. And the guy was very diligent, and he worked hard, and he kept getting promoted. And as time went on, his tenth was of a significant amount of money. And in fact, he got to where he was making six digits, and he was still tithing, and he thought, man, I'm writing a lot of checks to the church for a lot of money. And so he started praying to God, and he said, you know, I've been really faithful, and I've done what I've agreed to do, but I think I'm going to start giving less. Because I'm giving a lot, and I could use that money in other places. And he felt God tell him, you know, instead of giving less, you keep giving 10%, and I'll just reduce you back to where you started. Now, I'm not a health, wealth, prosperity kind of preacher, believer. I know it. But I do believe God will take care of us. I do believe God will provide for us. I do believe that he will bless us as we act out in faith. That I titled this sermon, it's about faith, not funds. It's a step of faith to give. Whether you believe it's a 10% tithe or whether you believe it's cheerful giving and the percentage doesn't really matter. Personally, I believe in the cheerful giving, but I always try to make that at least 10%. And that's just been my own conviction. I want this to be between you and God, not you and me or you and the church. It's between you and God. What you give matters to you, and it matters to God because it's an act of faith that you give. I love it when people, as I was pastoring, people would come to me and say, you know, we haven't been tithers, but we're going to start and see how it goes. And I've never heard one come back and say, yeah, this is too hard. I can't do it. I've never had anyone come back. And I've had some start off at 5% and then work their way up and continue on. And I thought, that's great, because it's between you and God. And this, I got one more scripture that I want us to close with. It's Luke 21. I'm going to share the story before we read it. You'll know this as the widow and her two mites. And here was a woman who was very poor. And she went with everyone else to give to God and watched all the wealthy people were giving theirs, and she gave her two mites. And Jesus was watching this, and he made that comment. Those others gave out of their excess, but she gave everything she has. And then he turned his attention from the religious scholars to some wealthy people who were depositing their donations in the offering boxes. A widow, obviously poor, came up and dropped two copper coins in one of the boxes. This is Jesus speaking. He says, I'm telling you the truth. This poor widow has made a bigger contribution than all of those rich fellows. They're just giving from their surplus, but she is giving from her poverty. She's giving all she has to give. I sort of feel like what we give needs to hurt a little. My mom gave $20, and I grew up in one of those homes that I don't know if we were poverty, but we saved our tinfoil. We kept every penny as we could. We saved our tinfoil to reuse it for the potatoes. Some were looking at me like, I don't know why you did that. So, and I don't know that the $20 that mom started giving, I'm sure it was tight. I don't know how much it hurt, but I feel like that check we write should sting. Should just sting a little. And I'm not trying to guilt anyone, but I know the nails in the hand stung. And he promised to be faithful, and he promised to take care of us. I would encourage you, not because Arden needs a raise, not because we might need a new roof one day, or we will, not because only 1.5% went to this group or that group. I want to encourage you to give because we're commanded to give. What you give, I think, should sting a little. It should be a reminder that, yeah, I could use this somewhere else, but God will take care of it, and God will take care of me. So I'm going to close with this. There was a lady in Kansas, her name's Betty Husband, and she was a teacher at the local school, and she was a widow. And there was a family in her church that needed a car. And Betty drove a dark green Lincoln town car. So she really liked her car, and she thought this family could use a nice Lincoln Town Car, so she bought them a pink one. This is totally true. She showed up to church on Sunday morning ready to hand them the keys to her pink Lincoln, and they pulled up in their new pink Lincoln. It was identical. And so she thought, what am I going to do with two Lincolns? Two Lincoln Town Cars, and she had a pickup for, the dump runs and things like that. And so she decided that God gave it to her. She was going to use it for ministry. So anyone that ever needed a car would go to Betty, and she would loan them the pink Lincoln. Every mission trip we took to Mexico with the youth, so went the pink Lincoln. Anytime that was needed, she said, God gave it to me. It's his. So whoever needs it, it's his. She had that way. That was her mindset with everything. On a mission trip in the pink Lincoln, a guy's washer and dryer overflowed and ruined his floor, but they needed a new washing machine. And so while we were in Mexico, I think we might have been back in Texas at this point, she called the appliance company and had them drop off a washing machine on this family's front porch and didn't tell them, it just came. And she just said, it's God's. It's not mine. if there's a need, I'm going to meet it. That's joyful giving. And so as a church family, and that's what we are, that's what we do when we give. We give to the church, entrusting the leadership to make the best choice with that money. And we love each other, and we take care of each other. And we trust God, because He'll take care of it. Let's pray. Father, I do thank You for this day. I'm thankful, Lord, that You love us, that You love us more than we could imagine, more than we could read about. And Father, we talk about things like tithe, not because we want to, but sometimes we need to be reminded why it matters. So Father, I pray that You will convict each one of us where we need to be convicted, and You will bless each one of us where we need to be blessed. I'm thankful, Lord, for how You provide. I'm thankful for this church and this family. May Your love be seen here every day, as only You can make it happen. Bless us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.